Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Habib Bhattar, who's a reporter based in Lebanon. He has been a print and broadcast journalist for some of the Arab world's leading news organizations, including Al Jazeera, Lebanon's Daily Star, and the Beirut-based satellite channel Future Television. He's covered a range of political events from across the Middle East, including the Iraq War and the recent turmoil in Syria and Lebanon. He's the author of the blog, The Beirut Report. That's beirutreport.com. Welcome to Background Briefing, Habib Bhattar.
Thank you.
And how is, you have next door to you in Lebanon, a state in what people call a civil war, although I don't think it's a classic civil war in the sense that one group of civilians are fighting another group of civilians. It seems in many ways that it's a Syrian military fighting its own people. But what is your sense of how much it is spilling over into Lebanon, which is already a pretty fragile has a pretty fragile political glue, if you will? Is that already happening, or do you expect it to happen?
Well, it's kind of a trend in Lebanon that, you know, there are a lot of different political groups, and the division among society is often used by foreign elements and foreign conflicts to cause division, armed division within Lebanon. And we saw that with the 1975 war. Instead of Syria, we're talking about Israel.
Well, there's already, I guess, to some extent, a surrogate war, isn't it? At least if it's not an armed one, it's a war of words between Hezbollah, who support the Assads and Iran, and Hariri, who apparently supports the Free Syrian Army or the rebels or whatever the term is. Is that, I mean, is that...
Yes, I mean, there's been a lot of media... chatter. I mean, it's hard to, you know, to locate where exactly people aren't taking that definitive of stance in terms of the weapons shipment and in terms of the kind of activities of certain abductions within Lebanon. So definitely, I mean, I would say that, you know, on the one hand, we have Hezbollah and its allies that have definitely, you know, Syria, the Syrian government's role as a productive one in the region, and haven't really, you know, commented on the details of internal Syrian policy. And then we have another side that's looking at the perspective of, you know, seeing the Assad regime fall would definitely help what we're seeing with Hariri wanting to make a comeback in Lebanon. So I think they're very local issues, and I don't think that they're always as related as they seem in the press.
But already, though, Habib Bhattar, again, a reporter based in Lebanon, has been a print and broadcast journalist for some of the Arab world's leading news organizations, including Al Jazeera, Lebanon's Daily Star newspaper, and the Beirut-based satellite channel Future Television. He's the author of the blog, the Beirut Report. That's beirutreport1word.com. But already in the northern Lebanese port of Tripoli, there have been clashes, and isn't that one of the main conduits for arms that are going into the Syrian Free Syrian Army?
Yes, definitely. I mean, you have to look at the elements that are supporting the uprising or the revolts in Syria, and there's a long history there of very different groups supporting things for different reasons. And I would say the same thing about what's happening in Syria. I don't think the opposition is in any way united. They are fragmented in many ways. So it's hard to tell exactly, you know, I don't think that we can really boil things down to these dichotomies. There's a lot of messiness.
So do you think give me a sense, because I know at the Beirut Report, Habib Bhattar, that you blog at beirutreport.com, you've written a lot about the media, and I guess this is about a media war as much as it's about a war on the ground. And of course, we're talking about this, about what happened in Syria just in the wake of this hideous massacre of a third of whom were children. Since Saudi Arabia and the Gulf support the Free Syrian Army, Al Jazeera has been fairly partisan. And of course, we know that Assad media is completely government control and a total propaganda organ. And of course, Russian television RTV takes the Assad line. Where would I get any credible reporting? And of course, it's worth pointing out that the Syrian government doesn't allow any reporters in.
Yeah, I mean, there have been periods when reporters haven't allowed in, but definitely their movement isn't as free as it would hopefully be. And as a result, we've seen a lot of local media spring up from this conflict, which I think is one of the only kind of silver linings to this conflict, is that we're actually seeing people report on their towns and villages where there's been no reporting in the past. So I think that, you know, the mainstream media has definitely been a propaganda or power tool for, both sides, I would say. Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya are the Arab world's biggest news channels. They regularly air clips that are very much propaganda. I mean, showing the pictures of Assad and very, very little nuance. And it's a very clear battle between an evil and a good. So that's not really the kind of news reporting we would expect from, you know, we would expect more facts and kind of music and special effects. And they run these kind of music video clips every commercial break on Arabiya and Jazeera, which are calling for the ouster of certain regimes, but not others. So there's been a lot of talk about, you know, when it comes to the Gulf countries, the oil-rich monarchies, there's not really much criticism of them at all, and no one is calling for their ouster. So they
don't cover Bahrain, then.
And a propaganda that's going on. But I would also say that at the same time, we are seeing a lot of young people get out there and tell their own stories. But, of course, that has also allowed them a lot of problems because, of you know, there have been occasions of fabricated video. Like any kind of, you know, YouTube content, you know, there's going to be problems with the verification process. Of, you know, are people using older pictures? Today we saw a picture used on the BBC website that was of a massacre in Iraq. To describe today's killing of some 100 people or so. So, you know, old pictures have been used, old videos have been recycled. So you really need to, you know, there's a lot of media coming out of this conflict, and you need to kind of look through a lot of it, and I wouldn't really rely on one source too much.
Well, in Lebanon, then, since you have, I guess the media is pretty partisan there, in as much as the country's kind of divided along sectarian lines. Is there any objective reporting? I know a lot of the Western reporters are working out of Beirut and Lebanon because they can't get into Syria.
Yeah. You know, definitely the media environment here is also partisan, but there are some channels that are covering a variety of events on both sides. You know, again, I think that what we're seeing more and more of is a lesser reliance on the mainstream media and an increased reliance on social media. We have now new channels that are coming out of new satellite channels, low-budget channels that are broadcasting into Syria. You know, people are broadcasting live on their cell phones through the kinds of applications that allow that, even despite the really poor internet speed. I mean, people are using Skype as well. You know, even people that are not really that, technically savvy might not even know how to introduce email, but other people know how to use Skype. Skype has become really popular as a place where news is being distributed by activists. So even activists that I've heard that don't even use email know how to use Skype. So there's a variety of platforms coming out today. I think that some of the mainstream media, especially from the West, has really been pushing this line about the Sunni-Shia battle. And I think that that narrative is really simplified and really ignores a lot of the political and financial considerations on the ground, which I think are just as important or more important as this kind of religious situation. So I think the local context, the local conditions in each area needs to be analyzed specifically. And the kind of Sunni-Shia terminology, I think, is really not helpful to understanding what's happening in every single city and territory where there are different circumstances.
But in terms of Hezbollah's appeal, which has always been that they have been the only ones prepared to recapture Arab dignity and fight the Israelis, etc., that narrative has got to be hard to justify, surely, if they are supporting Assad and he is murdering his own people. I mean, I understand that there's quite a... I mean, that the Hezbollah and Iranian TV are having a difficult time explaining their support for Assad, just as in the West, a lot of Western leftists are having to justify Hugo Chavez selling oil to Assad, etc.
Yeah, I think it goes really beyond Hezbollah. You know, Lebanese society, you know, Syria is very close to Lebanon. Many Lebanese have Syrian relatives. So in terms of elite power structure, the Lebanese elite power structure is Latin, with ties to the Syrian power structure. So this really transcends religion or political party, Hezbollah being the most visible because of it being in the spotlight so much. But there are many Christian Lebanese politicians who are very skeptical of the situation. People are skeptical about the opposition throughout Lebanon. Even supporters of the opposition have questioned some of the moves of the FSA, so it's messy. I don't think it's just in terms of Hezbollah losing support over this. I don't see that right now. Hassan Nasrallah is still a very charismatic and popular figure for those who support him, and that includes Christians, Sunnis, Shiites, many in Lebanese society that are skeptical of what's happening in the region, are skeptical of Israel's role in the region. So and the Assad role in that and the whole broader conflict. So there are many levels of conflict that people are looking at, not just what's happening on the ground in Syria, but also the broader Arab-Israeli conflict. So definitely, people are seeing the videos, watching what's happening. I don't think that there is huge support for the regime, but more of kind of an opposition to what elements, particularly those from the Gulf countries, that are supplying weapons or aid or money, and what their kind of objectives are. Because when you look at it from a broader picture, Syria is kind of the cornerstone of resistance to of the Iranian-Syrian, let's say, Hezbollah resistance access to the West, the Gulf, and Israel. So people are looking at it regionally, and you can look around the world and see a lot of cases of brutality being supported by certain governments and people still supporting those governments, even though they're allied with that. And the United States and Israel is a good example.
Well, but surely, Habibatah, in a curious way, the United States and Israel may well be on the same side as Iran and Hezbollah in this. The Israelis are very ambivalent about the idea that the Muslim Brotherhood can take over, and much of what the Muslim Brotherhood says and the Free Syrian Army says about Assad is that he's a stooge and he works with the Israelis. So the message is not by any means clear. I'm not saying that the U.S. and Iran are on the same side, but nobody can suggest that somehow Israel is real anxious to topple Assad.
That's true. And there are many competing narratives going on. I mean, one of them also, I would say, within the Syrian opposition itself, you have support for the regime in Bahrain. And the crackdown against people in Bahrain. On the other hand, you have Hezbollah supporting the uprising in Bahrain. So it gets a bit confusing with all of the different alliances that the region is kind of built upon, the power structure at least.
Well, just in closing, Habibatah, what do you think is going to happen in Syria, and how much do you think it's going to impact Lebanon? And again, the assumption is that Lebanon's political arrangements are pretty fragile.
I think I go back to my first point about, looking at the civil war in Lebanon and how it got started with, supply of weapons and attacks from Lebanon on Israel, and the Lebanese population divided about how to deal with that. Some in Lebanon saying that Lebanon should have played a neutral role, other ones saying that Lebanon should support the war with Israel, and you know, this all culminated in a war. Today, again, there are differences. Lebanon has been through the war, so there is hope that there is some kind of reckoning with violence not really being, with the ability to one side to defeat another in Lebanon is kind of, there's kind of an acceptance that that's not going to happen. So, but there have been a lot of events happening this week, and there is a lot of effort also to contain this, again, based on what past divisions have, what kind of conflict past divisions have caused in Lebanon from the leadership as well. There's been a lot of trying, a lot of talk between trying to, get, bring together Hariri and Nasrallah, a lot of speeches in the last few days to try to kind of calm tension in the street. So, it's a very unsure situation. It's not easy to compare it to the past. At the same time, there are elements of past struggles.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Habib Bitar.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Habib Bitar, who's a reporter based in Lebanon. He's been a print and broadcast journalist for some of the Arab world's leading news organizations, including Al Jazeera, Lebanon's Daily Star newspaper, and the Beirut-based satellite channel Future Television. He's the author of the blog The Beirut Report. That's beirutreport.com. We're going to take a brief station break, and then we'll get an update from Egypt and talk about how the two candidates in the runoff might impact Israeli-Palestinian relations.
Time and time and time we see these acts against humanity. Well, each for each and each world leader shed blood for what they each believe. On and on and on we go. Well, some will you see and some won't be. Truth for you and truth will lead you to a sense of heart.